Hey Rod, are you ready to go balls deep in sports?
Hey, you're listening to Balls Deep Sports Podcast with your host, me, Rod from the Blackout Tips, and of course, the co-host with the co-most, I guess, Justin, man. What's up, dog?
What's going on, Rod? How you doing?
Chilling, man. I see you over there chilling, being all light-skinned and shit.
Trying to, man. I even wore a bright shirt just so I could shine a little more up in this piece.
Yeah. And of course, he had to, go and recruit some help, as light-skinned dudes are wont to do.
You know, we got to roll thick.
They always roll in packs, man. That's what they say. Light-skinned people roll in packs. We also got the homie Ty Diamond from the Hot Pod Podcast. What up, Ty?
Woo. That's what happened. You know, we got to start singing songs. Light-skinned dudes, we got melodies.
Theme music.
Take it back to the 90s. All you had to do was be light-skinned and get a haircut and get a band.
Yeah.
Man, what's been going on with you, Ty, man? How's the Hot Pod going? And, how's everything else going in your life?
Hot Pod's going pretty good, man. Me and Kevin still shutting it down. Got a new episode coming out soon. But, other than that, though, everything's been going good. I'm just trying to keep some other stuff under wraps. But y'all will definitely be the first to know when it's official.
All right, cool, man. You still over at messing with them toys?
Yeah, I'm still getting them lashes.
Yeah.
So they still whipping me pretty hard, but I'm still there.
Yeah, I got a gripe to pick with your employer, man. They had a great special on a video game, and I went to go buy one online, and it said shipped to the store, and none of the stores in 60 miles of my city had one. So I couldn't get it.
Anytime you want to say fuck Toys R Us, I'm definitely in to also say.
We also got, speaking of business, you know, because I couldn't let it get uneven on the show with too many light-skinned people and one podcast. You know, we'll never be able to finish the episode, so I had to go out and get me some backup.
Hell yeah.
It's the homie Rob from the Atypical Sports Show, co-hosted, of course, by Kimani Holmes. What up, Rob?
What up, my man? What's going on, dog?
Chilling, man. Now, what have you been up to, man? You know, it's been a while since I talked to you.
Oh, you know, man, it's all about business for me, man. I got a social media marketing company. We do Facebook marketing for like 30 businesses in Washington, Tucson, Phoenix area. And, you know, just business going good. Salespeople just blowing it up, man. We about to get back on this podcast trip, man. We about another month or so from setting this back on fire, the A-Tip getting back there. So shit's going good, man.
That's what we need, man. We need y'all back in the game, man. Of course, make sure you guys go check him out at Exposure Biz Online. And he's also on Twitter at Exposure Biz. And of course, everybody knows at Atypical Sports. I need more Slave Key in my life. What was the black Peter Parker?
Peanut Parker, dude.
I need more Peanut Parker in my life, man.
And you actually need more Ray Lewis, nigga. That's what the shows. And nigga, we was listening to that one show with Ray Lewis where, you know how Ray Lewis be like, yes! Oh, yes! See, I saw the Lord divine! Yes! So we need some more Ray Lewis up in this flavor too, dog. So that's all I got right now.
That's what's up, man. Now, of course, a lot of stuff happened in sports, man. And here at Balls Deep, man, we go right into it all the way to the hilt. Like, we like to get right up in it. So I'd have to give a rest in peace to somebody that inspired this podcast even. A lot of people wouldn't know this, man. It's a person that I think most people would not even think I was aware of, but my man Dick Trickle, dead.
Damn.
Yeah, 71 years old. Someone hit me on Twitter. I said, man, Dick Trickle is dead. One of the best names in sports, gone forever. And dude said, how did he die? And I said, he was 71. He died parasailing. And that was not true. I didn't know at the time. I did not know at the time. Apparently, he died from like a self-inflicted gunshot wound, man. Killed himself. Here in Charlotte, man, the home of NASCAR, I'm sure a lot of people are really sad about it, man. So I just think this is his parents' fault.
Yeah, well, that's the thing, because I knew about him, too. What a lot of people don't know is that when he was younger, he was actually Dick Stream. So mm-hmm. as he got older and went to a trickle, he knew he was eventually going to turn to a drought. Mm-hmm. So yeah. That's why he had to end that beforehand.
Yeah, I feel like it's his parents' fault for naming him something that could be picked on so much. Of course he was going to kill himself. I'm surprised he made it 71 years. That would be like if Robert named his son, I can't, you know what I mean? Or
right.
learn to, you know, something like that.
I thought when it said, because you said that, I thought when it said R.I.P. Dick Trickle, I thought that was his first name, R.I.P. Because I figure if your last name is Dick, middle name is Dick Trickle, you should be dead.
Yeah, maybe he's like related to Rip Hamilton.
Exactly. Dick Trickle. But I don't, you know what, here's the deal. I thought Dick Trickle was black. I had to go look at it. Dick Trickle was white?
Yeah, man. I know it sounds like an old 70s pimp name or some shit, but nah, he's a white NASCAR driver.
So how do I explain that I didn't feel as bad when I found out he was white?
You explain it the same way we always do, with racism.
Yeah. Give it a, like, give it a Malcolm X quote.
Man. You know what I mean? It's all good. But it's so funny. I when I hear people with self-inflicted, I was reading it. What is a self-inflicted gun wound? No, he just killed himself. That's not self-inflicted. You just killed yourself, man. No, but, hey, man, if you're going to go out like that, at least you're 71 years old. I mean, he lived a full life. Like you said, he's playing with house money after 15 years old.
Yeah. I wouldn't mind, you know, if it, like, instead of self, like, I wouldn't mind people using a self-inflicted gunshot wound if they used, you know, not inflicted by self for other gunshot wounds. You know, like he was hit three times with three other inflicted gunshot wounds from other people. And, so yeah, he dead. Bye, y'all. He was cool.
Was he, did he win anything, or was, I mean, or was his name? Did he win a lot, or?
Well, he was big in the 70s and 80s.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And, 1989, he led NASCAR's Premier Series with 6 top 5 finishes and 9 top 10s.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So, I mean,
but as time went on, he kind of trickled off.
So. Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
No, you did.
Well, I mean, he never really achieved the fame of like an Earnhardt or, you know, Stewart, some of the more bigger personalities in the sport. Cause, you know, they used to say outside of the track, he was still a dick, you know, so.
Right. And plus, I think, you know, it's all marketing. Your name has everything. He could have changed his name to Richard.
There's right. Yeah.
You know, so I ain't mad at him. I mean, that was a marketing. I mean, I'm sure that helped him. Popularity just to have the name, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like your name, Rodimus Prime, you know right. what I mean? That helps you.
Well, this, yeah. You also got to figure at 71, there had to be some type of Depends angle he could have got into, you know, make some money off of that. But
yeah. Or back then, Dick was more accepted. Like Dick, there's less Dicks out there. Are
that's
back
true.
Then.
That's true.
Like back then, there was a lot of Dick. Dick Van Dyke, mm-hmm. Dick Gregory,
Dick Butkus,
and my Dick. And so there's a lot of Dicks now. The Dicks are Richards now. You don't call nobody Dick that much. At least I don't see no Dicks.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Dick just isn't accepted anymore. We just don't take Dick.
Yeah, only Dick Cheney, you know, is still a Dick, you know.
Or if you send a dick pic.
Right, right. But pretty much everybody is lesbians now. Nobody's fucking with those Dicks. Speaking of, go ahead, Ty.
I don't, just last thing I just wanted to say, he probably, if he would have changed his name, probably couldn't enjoy success like we just would have did 2 Chainz or like 2 Dicks or something like that.
Yep. So it's good to see that people, you know, hey, this is what we do on Balls Deep, man. We talk about Dicks. So second round of the playoffs popped off. And some people's seasons are coming to a close. Others are being extended. Let's talk about the series that are over with first. The Heat did exactly what I said they would last Friday. I feel like I deserve a round of applause. I was the only one on the show standing up for LeBron and the summer of Bron, man, the year of Bron. I was like, they're about to reverse sweep these niggas, because it was like Chicago walked up to a bully and slapped him, and then the bully delivered the beatdown that he was supposed to give him the first time, man. So yeah,
the bully was like, this is not a movie. This is not TV. We will actually win.
Yeah, so even with Dwayne Wade hobbling around on one knee, LeBron James carries the Heat to, 4-1 series win, sitting at home waiting for the season, for, the next series to be over so they can have somebody to play. Anybody have any thoughts on the Bulls versus Miami. I'll just say this too. I knew the Bulls were in trouble when they tried to turn it into a fight. That's what you do when you know you can't ball with somebody. You just try to turn it into a fight so that maybe they will be distracted and won't bust your ass on the court. Justin, I go with you first, man. What'd you think about this series now that it's wrapped up?
I mean, I'm disappointed. I wanted the Miami Heat to lose at least two more games so that I could have more basketball. It's pure selfishness. I'm not ready for the season to be over with. And the more sweeps we have, the more games that teams just send them home going fishing, the sooner basketball is going to be over with. And I'm not happy about that. Fuck you, LeBron. Fuck you. Okay, sir?
Yeah,
I'm getting back on my fuck LeBron hate like everyone, like Cleveland, like everyone else.
Would this have anything to do with Joakim Noah being light-skinned? I just got to ask. I know people wondering.
I mean, I'll never admit that, you know, Joakim and Boozer and those other light-skinned guys on the Bulls have something to do with it. I'm just saying, fuck LeBron because he ruining the NBA season by ending it so early.
Complete coincidence that the Heat don't have any light-skinned players except Shane Battier.
Yep. Yeah. And okay. He won the game for them the other day. Mm-hmm. Hit two crucial threes.
I was just checking because I know people going to want to know. Now, Ty, man, what did you think about the Bulls? If you had time to watch the Bulls versus Heat series, what did you think about it?
Actually, I did. I've seen several of the games, and it was a great series. I think had Derrick Rose been able to play, like I'm not one of those D-testers and mad that he couldn't come back in because obviously he wasn't healthy, but it was a great series. I just wish he could have played, so it would have been a better series.
Yeah, it was weird. I've been having so many conversations at the basketball court. It's weird listening to entitled people tell me that if a doctor clears you, you should be able to play a sport and not like they know better than you. If your knee still hurts and if your head is still fucked up, it's like, nigga, they said you can play, so just get your ass out there. It's like, has anybody here ever had surgery before? Cause it's a lot. They clear you to go home and do shit way before you feel like you can do shit.
Yeah, going back to work.
Right, exactly. Like Karen's back is still hurting. She got in a wreck. Like I don't know. It's been almost 6 months now. And I'm sure doctors cleared her to go to work and all that shit, but doesn't mean her back doesn't hurt when she gets home or when I finish putting in that work. Now, what about you, Rob? up top, Rob. What about you, man? Do you have any time to watch Heat versus Bulls at all?
Yeah, man, I did, man. So since I told you, now, I ain't got no TV, so I spend a lot of my time at the sports bar. It's just an excuse to get out the house, and I got to go watch the game somewhere. So I do pay close attention to, like, playoffs and the games. And I'm of the same opinion, man. I will never tell another man if he's healthy enough to go. I know I got my appendix taken out when I was 17 years old, and they cleared me out of that hospital. But I know I was limping around, or like you said, I couldn't really operate well after I left, just because you're clear. And to me, they're so stupid because if he hurt himself, everybody would turn sentiment and say, he shouldn't have came back too early. Why is he listening to what other people are saying?
Yep.
So I'm not mad at Derek, man. Get healthy. Do what you want to do. And it wouldn't have made a difference anyway. They would have lost in six.
Yeah. Yeah.
But next year, with Dwayne Wade hobbling, and next year is their better chance to really beat Miami, because I don't think Miami's going to be the same next year, and I think the big men will really affect them next year. Mm-hmm. And with not a healthy Dwayne Wade, I think Dwayne Wade's, this is his last year to really be able to contribute like he did last year. So it's going to be back on LeBron again next year.
And I will add this. I don't believe in that Rose is any type of punk or bitch or whatever because he's not playing. I do believe in jokes, though. So if you got good jokes about Derrick Rose, I'm still laughing. I just hope that he's not looking at your shit going, maybe I should get out there. Cause if you don't feel right, don't get out there. My ankle, when I fractured it, they told me once I got out the boot, they were like, hey, you should be able to heal in like 6 weeks, start working out, start playing. Man, I wasn't right for months. Like there were games where I quit in the middle of the game. Cause like I would have a flashback of just some dumb shit. Like, man, I could have landed on that dude's foot. I would have fucked my ankle up. You know what, man? Let me sit my ass down. So I could understand. I could relate, man.
I actually thought that, you know, before I always thought Derrick Rose actually was weak-minded.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact that he didn't give in to the peer pressure, it proved a lot. I'm sure he heard and saw every single tweet and all the pictures with him sitting on the sideline in them suits. You know what I mean?
Well, so he can't read though, so he probably thought they were saying like nice suit there.
That's true. He's like, he probably was looking at people like, what that say? And it was like, it was like, oh, it say something good. It says something good, man. It say, get, take your time and get well.
Nah, he got a real ass brother that I think he take all the papers to his house and just sit down and read each one of them to him.
Hey, Derek, listen to this.
Yeah.
I think in Derek Rose's contract, there's a lot of weebies.
Yeah, yeah. Speaking of weebie, weebie watching the Spurs do what the Spurs do, because they handled the Warriors like a veteran team should handle a young team. Like, they use a bunch of old man veteran tactics, man, that I'm used to implementing on young dudes. And they ended up doing what we used to do at the YMCA to Steph Curry, you know, like beat him up, guard him tight, put the youngest dude on him, and you just double team that and lock up his teammates, man. Like, They did a good job getting this team out of here. I thought that last week I thought that this was going seven games. I thought that Golden State had a legit chance to beat these guys, but I really feel like Steph Curry hurt his ankle in like game two or three. And for what it's worth, I don't think he ever really was the same after that. So and I'll get everybody's thoughts on this one too. Oh, and then, let me not take away any credit, man. Hey, Popovich can coach. The Spurs are veterans. You know, no matter how bad they're shooting, they're going to hit the shots down the stretch. They're going to shut down the other team when they need to. They're just going to be a tough team to put out. I don't think they're contender for a championship necessarily, but they're always tough to put out because they're so fucking smart. And Mark Jackson is an overrated coach that calls up dumb plays at the end of games, man. You can't do that against Popovich.
No. I won't say he's an overrated coach. Mm-hmm. I would say that it's the same thing. I look at this as the same thing, not the same talent level, but remember the first year the Miami Heat lost to Dallas? Yeah. They didn't lose to Dallas because Dallas was better. They lost to Dallas because of coaching. Mm-hmm. And this is Mark Jackson's first coach. I don't think he's an overrated coach. I think there's just there's just a baseline for coaches have to learn some stuff in their first year. I think he has a talent. He was actually, when you look about it, Mark Jackson was actually smart. Everybody was thinking, why did he take that job? Well, when you look at their squad now, man, he had a team built. It looked their team is efficient. They got a nice squad. He's just going to have to learn, like all the new coaches, how to deal with adjustments. And he got out coached by a better coach, but I don't think he's overrated as a coach. I just think there's a learning curve like Eric Spoelstra had, and in the first year, and then he screwed Miami out of that championship. I think there's a learning curve with Mark Jackson too.
You know what? That is actually a valid point. I take it back. I'm not going to say he's overrated. I don't like some of his play calls at the end of games.
Yes.
I think his timeout selection leaves a lot to be desired. Like, there's no rhyme or reason to those timeouts for anyone. Yeah. That watched this series, there were quarters where he literally called 3-4 timeouts in a quarter. And then there were times where they were getting like the shit beat out of them. And you were like, yo, you need to stop the momentum. And he's like, they'll work it out. So I don't know what the deal is with that guy, but you're right. I don't want to say he's overrated because Popovich is the best coach in the NBA, in my opinion. So that's kind of unfair. Now, Justin, what'd you think about this series?
I thought it was a very good series. It was 2-2 at one point, and like you said, the Spurs just put that old man game on them. Even Kawhi Leonard, like he got an old soul or something. They started doing.
It's the cornrows. He ain't got no old soul. He's like a fucking 1995 creative player on NBA Live.
He just basically was like, wait, these young boys out here get my shine.
Yeah. Harrison Barnes tried to jump with Kawhi Leonard on a dunk one time on a fast break. He had a terrible angle on everything, got dunked on. And as soon as it happened, I was like, dude, he only looks 37. Yeah. He's young as you, dude. Don't jump.
But that just comes from playing with veterans, picking up tricks, things like that. Again, disappointed I wanted that series to go seven.
Me too.
But I think it goes back to last week, what I was saying with Steph Curry and the seriousness that he takes of turnovers and things like that at the end of the game. And I think that's with the whole team.
Yeah, now you told me about that off the air. I think you told me that at like the basketball quarter after the after we were talking at the show. Now,
yeah, that might have been a one-on-one.
Yeah, talk about that. Tell the audience about your idea about Steph Curry and protecting the ball.
I think definitely he can handle the ball. It's just that he treats the end of the game the same way he does at the beginning, which is, you know, I still want to make pretty fancy passes and not those two-hand chest passes or bounce passes to make sure that the ball is getting where it needs to be. He's just kind of careless with it at the end of the game, and he's basically still having fun. He's doing the LeBron dancing, you know, that, like, he's still having fun with it. It's not necessarily like, you know what, we actually could have gone to the finals this year. Like, this was our shot.
Right.
Type
like
of
they're still playing with house money right now.
Right. And him and Thompson, if Steph Curry is the leader of that team, which he clearly should be, he has a family, so he's definitely mature enough to be able to rein those guys in and say, hey, we need to be more careful with the ball. We need to cut these fucking turnovers out, which is what ultimately beat them.
Yeah.
Because if you cut out the turnovers, old man game or not, the Spurs wouldn't have won those games.
Yeah.
Tired legs or not, the Spurs wouldn't have won those games. But
you know what? You convinced me that night we were talking, and I absolutely do agree. Like, he has careless turnovers in crucial situations sometimes, and it always keeps the game a little closer than it should be. Or, you know, when the Spurs tightened up, those were the plays that made it be like a 7-point game instead of a 4-point game, or, you know, a 6-point game instead of a 2-point game. Like, it was a lot of that little shit that it's not terrible. It's not even really noticeable. It's just little stuff where, like, he'll go to the air, try to make a pass to the guy open for three in the corner, and it'll get picked off by Ginobili. And it's like, well, if you hadn't gone to the air, if you would have fundamentally passed that, you would have either not turned it over, or got the, you know, or not got the ball there. Hold on one second. Let me get Ty's opinion on this series. Okay. And then I'll go back to you, Rob. Ty, man, what do you think about, Spurs versus, Golden State?
Yeah, Spurs and Golden State, that was actually one of my favorite series, because the Spurs, although they're an old team in some aspects, they're not too old, so they could keep up.
They're very light-skinned. Both of these teams are very light-skinned.
Yeah, so that's also probably why I enjoyed the series so much. So they was able to keep up with the Warriors and not get outplayed. And Warriors, I mean, I'm definitely excited to see what's going to happen in the seasons to come, but I'm happy the Spurs won, and that was a good series.
All right, so Rob, man, what did you think, man, about the series? I saw you about to add something, man. I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, man, fuck you then. I don't know what to say now, though.
Come on, brother. Brother, we can't break up like this in front of them. They listening. The light skinned people.
Man, he got a light skinned.
I know how you going. Light skinned to the dark skinned, bro.
He got a light skinned woman, so he's used to this.
Wrap it up and shit. Agree with light skinned niggas. So, what I'm saying is that I don't necessarily think it's a Steph Curry problem per se. I think he's just out of position. That's why they have Jared Jack there. Steph Curry's not a point guard. He's a shooting guard. They have to make him a point guard because of what they need. But, you know, Jared Jack is a better point guard than Steph is. So Steph's doing stuff that a dude who ain't really played point guard is doing.
Well, I have to disagree with you, man, because I hate to go balls deep on you like this. But playing with Steph Curry and being raised around him and seeing him play and stuff, Steph Curry only played shooting guard that one year in college, and he's played point his whole life. Like, this, like, that's what's crazy about Steph, is his notoriety came the year that he was playing out of position, and everybody's like, who the fuck is this kid out of Davidson, you know? And then he went back to point guard, and I think his draft status dropped just a little bit, but still pretty high. And he came to the NBA, and he shoots so much, I think people are like, well, he can't be a point guard like that, can he? But that is really his style of play. What we're watching right now is, I don't put it like this. I don't know that he can ever improve, his passing and stuff more than it is right now.
No, I don't think he can ever. I don't know, man. I guess I look at it when I compare point guards, I don't see him as a point guard. He doesn't penetrate and dish.
Right.
Like Jared Jack penetrates and dishes. Steph Curry tries to find his own shot. And then if nobody's there, then he'll find that open play. He's a smart basketball player. But as a point guard in the NBA, he's not a Tony Parker. Tony Parker even dishes better than he does. So, like, I compare him, like, he's like an in-betweener, like a Gilbert Arenas, you know, without the gun and without the baby mama drama. He just, like, he's more of a, like, a dude who, like, yeah, you got to play point guard, but I would rather have a point guard set him up in the new NBA. I just don't see him effective as a point guard to me.
Yeah, because, I definitely.
Here's the deal. Here's what's the killer though, Rod, is that he's going to continue to have, he has ankle issues.
Yep.
Playing point guard, he's not going to be able to hold up long with ankle issues playing point guard. He needs to play off the ball so he doesn't have as much wear and tear on his ankles. He's had that problem for years. I don't see that getting better at all.
Yeah. Yeah, man. It does make me sad every time he hurts his ankle and stuff, because it happens so often. And like, it's 3 years into your career. We really can't say this is a, you know, accident. And, you know, and the thing is, the dude can pass his ass off. I don't know, like, but like Justin said, it's a lot of fancy passes. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know that that's good. He averages like 3 turnovers a game and 8 assists. But they play a up-tempo style too, so there's a lot more assists to go around. But, he, you know, he's not a selfish dude, but he does look for his own shot. It just happens that his own shot is typically their best shot every time down the court. But I really feel like, man, I just feel like they gotta do something now, because I don't know how long you can depend on a guy who's that mobile and his ankle starts fucking up.
One more thing before you switch gears.
Go ahead.
Like, when you compare, like, I know you say he's not, a lot of people say he's not a point guard.
Yeah.
But when you look at the amount of ball control that he has with either hand, he passes with either hand, to say that, well, he's not a point guard because he looks for a shot. Well, if you're the best shooter on the team and the coach is always giving you the green light, that's what you're used to doing.
I think for, I don't mean to speak for Rob, but I think I speak for a lot of people. For people that like pass first point guards, it's always going to be a distinction in our head. Like, yeah, he's a point guard, but, you know what I mean? Like, he's a point guard, but he averaged 27 points and shoots the ball like 1 out of every 3 possessions. So it's like, in our minds, we're like, I don't know if I want to call that dude a point guard because he shoots so damn much, you know? Even though, if that's what you do best, you got to do what's the most effective for your game on the court.
And that's what I was going to say. I was going to put him with Westbrook. I was going to say Westbrook has that same issue. People consistently say he's not a point guard. He shouldn't be the point guard.
Now, the difference is Westbrook literally didn't play any point guard till he got to the NBA. But, I know what you mean. Like, in the NBA, he is a point guard, but he a certain type of point guard that is always hunting for his own shot first. Speaking of Westbrook. Rob, you had something else to say? Go ahead, man.
Proof is in the pudding. I don't know a scoring point guard who's won that championship. So I guess if we talking about regular season, that's fine. But when it goes on the half court, see how he's exposed.
I can only name 2, Chauncey Billups and Isaiah Thomas. And I would even go so far as to say, and maybe we'll get into this on another episode because it's a long discussion, but point guard is the most overrated position in the NBA. And it really doesn't have as much effect on the game as other elite talent at other positions does. So Chris Paul might never win a championship. Jason Kidd never won one when he was great. And Steve Nash didn't even go to a finals when he was winning MVPs. Like, I really think point guard is just a tremendously overrated position in the NBA. All right. So speaking of the other series and talking about point guard who, apparently was underrated, Memphis whooped up on the Oklahoma City in 4 games. And, like I said, my Westbrook agenda has been activated because I've been rooting for people to get off of his back for the last like 4 years or so. And I feel vindicated. I did take it a little too far on Twitter. I started the hashtag Amnesty Durant. And I want to say to anybody that was a witness to that, I was just joking. I take it back. I don't really want to see Kevin Durant get amnestied off the team. But I really do think that people made Durant a superstar in their minds before he was a superstar, because they felt some type of pity on him. Like, oh, he got to deal with Westbrook and he don't get the ball enough. And they just completely ignored the fact that he doesn't always aggressively come to the ball in the fourth quarter. He can disappear for big stretches of the game.
He's just a good kid. You know,
he was a book bag.
He's just so nice. He doesn't want to disrespect any of the other players. He's just a kid out there.
He plays Xbox. He plays Xbox with his friends online.
He doesn't brush his hair just like other kids from the project.
Yeah. And that's the other thing too. I really want the kidification of Durant just to stop. At this point, it's pretty much emasculating. I mean, he made a commercial out of it, where the one where it's like, Kevin couldn't have been the one to kill him with the killer crossover. He's a little kid. You know, like, it's kind of weird at this point, man. You know,
and you were right. Like, I'm sorry, what were you saying?
I mean, you know, he's concentrating. I mean, like, how can he concentrate in the finals when every other commercial is his cuckold fantasy of having sex with some Asian lady, man? Like, in front of a kid and everything. I don't see how that dude's going to win a championship. But go ahead, Ty, what were you going to say?
No, I was just going to say, back to last week you was talking about on the show as well. Like, I see it. I noticed it on the court too, how he does that. The camera look at him. It's like he knows when it's looking at him. So he'll do that little kid look like, oh, I'm so sad. I missed that shot. Mm-hmm. I'm like, I don't show no anger. And it's like, he needs to turn it up because he is one of the best players in the league. And I definitely think he could have won that the game, was it last night they played?
Two nights ago, I think.
I don't see him
being aggressive enough, and he needs to stop living in that image of being a kid.
Yeah. I was going to promote the whole Kevin Durant's a choker and all this shit stuff, but honestly, I like the dude and I don't, I want him to succeed. I just hate the people that only like him despite Westbrook. So it's a fine line of like criticism that like, well, I'm like, he could get better, but I still love that dude and he's a beast. But he need Westbrook more than y'all think. I'll go with Rob first this time, man. What's up, my dark skinned brother? What you think about the Oklahoma City Thunder versus the Memphis Grizzlies?
Oh, I was just over at Ty's house cleaning his house. The dark skin. So it's going to be first this time.
Yeah, now that you picked all the cotton, you can go first.
I'll clean that up later, Ty. All right. So I guess the way I look at it, man, I was talking to Key about this. Like, there's niggas who I owe formal apologies to. One of them is he said it was going to be Melo. I'm saying hell no, but it is Westbrook. Because if you listen to the show years ago, I was hating on Westbrook. And the reason why I was hating on Westbrook is because I swear he was taking the ball from Kevin. And I swear I just don't like niggas who be balling like they mad all the time. He ball like this is last shot. And like, if he don't do it, like his family's going to get taken away. Like, he just be balling mad.
He got one. Hey, Rob. Also, he got one of them faces.
Yes. He got that face. That you know how like you always, the nigga who's always balling, you ball with, and he's the one who grabs the ball and puts in his arms like, fuck that.
Yes.
Fuck that.
He can't help it, man. Like, my boy Tone calls him Voldemort on his podcast, man. And he does, man. He just got one of them evil, mean faces in it. He seems like a really fun guy, actually. Like, he dresses all crazy. He makes jokes in the press conference, man. Like, somebody asked him a question once and he said like, nigga, please. Like, he seemed like a really cool dude, but that face just seems like an asshole face.
But he balls aggressively like his face looks. So I was really minimizing his talent. and I have to owe him an apology because I swear that he was whack. I saw from this series, to me, Kevin Durant, this is not a talent thing. This is a physical thing. Because I don't think Kevin Durant can't find the open guy, doesn't go to the ball. I think physically his frame can't take that punishment of what it needs for your number one to carry the team. Mm. LeBron's ruined it for everybody because physically LeBron took the Cleveland Cavaliers to the championship. He did that physically. Yeah. Because he could take that punishment, take it to the hole, get beat up, find the open guy. I mean, there's just punishment on every play. KD just doesn't have that body type.
So you think so KD to do the
It's not about Westbrook or KD. They won't win the championship because Westbrook's weakness about making the right play at the end of the game and Kevin Durant about getting to that hole at the end of the game. They have a serious problem. They need a big man who they can pound it to, who can get down there. Because other than that, I don't think they win a championship. So shooting 3 for 24, Kevin Durant, that's not a talent thing. That's I'm just not physical enough to play that type of grinding. I need help. And so I don't think Westbrook's the guy to help him.
So, Perkins and Ibaka.
Well, Perkins offensively is a
dud. Perkins is a liability.
Like, pretty much, Perkins offensively is like a checker on a checkerboard. You know what I mean? Like, he's not giving you anything. He's just sitting there. He's a good defender, one on one and stuff. But dude, this series exposed him so bad because he couldn't do shit with Marc Gasol. And it was like, once you put that on the board, I had no confidence in them winning the game. Once I saw Marc Gasol step out and hit like 4 J's in a row on this dude, I was like, yep, well, there goes that $10 million you just wasted. So, and then Ibaka's go-to shot is his set shot jumper now. So, and I know that, you know, that's a good shot and it's going to extend his career by years. I'm not hating on the dude, but that's not going to win, you know, championships as the number one big man. Like you're just Horace Grant now. You need two other guys who need double teams to get you an open shot. And, he can't do anything without, you know, Westbrook on there. So
they'd win a championship if they traded Kendrick Perkins and Ibaka for Mark Gasol or Zach Randolph. I'm not saying it's going to happen,
yeah,
but they'd win a championship with that squad. Right. They just need somebody in the half court. Like when it's playoff time, give them the niggas a break, dump it down to this nigga, let him do some work and let these guys just, you know, stay outside a little bit and get a break. But they got to do everything from the perimeter. They don't have a squad made up.
Yeah, and their coach is overrated. They
he's a waste of space.
Yeah, he's really overrated. Like it feels like he doesn't even draw up plays. It's just like get a ball to KD and everybody move out the way. Justin, man, what do you want to say?
Well, I wanted to ask Rob. I know he mentioned Durant's physical weakness, but do you think it's a physical weakness or a mental? Because I can't believe that Durant doesn't lift weights.
No, I think it's just a body type thing, dude. I just look at his frame. I don't think. He's a 6'10 dude who shoots outside. We're trying to get him to like take it to the hole physically 10 times a game. It's hard enough to dribble to the hole without getting contact.
But see, he got the same frame as Garnett. And that's why
Garnett was never like that either. Though, but Garnett's game is different. Garnett's back to the basket when he first started. Now he's more 15 footer. But Garnett's game is different.
But that's what I'm saying. Is it more mental then? Is it that he mentally doesn't like, oh, I don't want to get touched?
Well, I don't think he can handle the physical. I think physically, he hasn't been trained. Garnett came into the league and was doing back to the basket. I think Garnett physically worked out. So I guess it could be a combination of it, but just a perimeter player taking it to the hole in playoff time. I just don't think Kevin Garnett physically can take that pound.
You know, I mean, on a low.
Did he lift 50 pounds like six times?
Yeah, he couldn't lift 75 or something.
But, and that says I'm nothing bad, but that just says a lot about
it. On the low though, I think what one of the things people are missing though, the NBA changed the rule on Kevin Durant because he was leading the league in free throw attempts last year, where he could do that move where he takes the ball, turns into you, and then just puts his arms through you and shoots. And they used to call that as, you know, like two shots, like you get two free throws. But they changed that rule to where it's just ball out of bounds now. And I think that affected his ability to get to the line because he used to be a problem in the fourth because he just do that shit like eight times. And now you're giving up, you know, 16 points from the free throw line. That's not happening anymore.
Yeah, I think it's a mental thing with him. And I think that's why you have to have – I think that's what'll stop him from winning a championship until he overcomes that mentally, I need to take this contact. I need to go to the basket. I don't think it's physical. It's hard to believe that for the past few summers outside of his first year that he wasn't working out. Unless he's that dude that says, I'm not going to work out because it'll fuck up my jump shot.
Well, the one thing I will say too that's kind of like that I do think is mental with him, he does not like contact for sure. And like part of being an elite superstar basketball player is you have to relish getting fucked up a little bit. Like, cause it's what breaks teams' backs. It's not Dwayne. Like, I don't remember any actual plays from Dwayne Wade when they beat the Mavericks in the finals. I don't remember any. I just remember him going to the free throw line because he was relentlessly driving to the hole every freaking time. And I feel like that's the mentality you need. And Durant is so confident in his jumper. He's like, man, I'm just going to pull this J, man. Like, we down two, but my shit is wet, dude. And I don't know that that's as solid as getting a couple free throws. And I think that I'll agree with you there, Justin. Like, I think that's mental. But as far as just, you know, being tough or lifting weights and stuff, I don't know that his game is ever going to benefit or from that. His frame is just fucked.
And I'll say it's more mental, too, because, and we talked about this previously, the fact during the finals last year, he didn't get that call from LeBron when he called himself going to the basket once.
Mm-hmm.
And LeBron gave him some contact, and Durant bitched about that for the longest. Right. He was like, dude, this is your first time going to the basket the entire game, and he barely touched you. He's playing the same way.
Is that type of mentality, I think, that makes me be like, I don't know if he's mentally tough enough to do what he has to do to get to the fucking hole, man. Let's go to this next one, man, so we can get off of the playoffs real quick. But There's a series that hasn't ended yet. It's the Knicks versus the Pacers, bringing me the most joy of the playoffs so far, because I love watching the Knicks struggle and I love following their, love following their fans on Twitter, man. So just, self-righteous and entitled. But at the same time, they know that it's just bravado because they've been hurt so many times. It's like a black woman in a new relationship who's just like, it's gonna work this time. But deep down, she's checking that man's pockets. She's gonna look through his drawers for numbers. Like, she's gonna get his Facebook password. That's how Knicks fans are. They're like a black woman in a Tyler Perry movie. And I'm enjoying watching them suffer. And the only problem for me is, once the Knicks are out, if it's Pacers versus Heat, I'm gonna be bored as shit next round. Cause the Pacers play a really bruising style of slow basketball, in my opinion. So let me get everybody else's opinion on this series, man. Like, first of all, who do you think takes this series going to game? It's game six, right? Yeah. Game six on Saturday. So who do you think takes this series? And, you know, what do you think about it so far? And this time, I'll start with you, Ty Diamond.
Personally, I think the Pacers are going to take it. I don't think New York is actually serious about actually going to the next round. Case in point, Rihanna has been controversial with her and J.R. Smith clubbing, and she said because she, I think, it was on Media Takeout. It was on one site or something like that, but that there was pictures of them in the club and drinking, and it's just like, yo, you need to be focused. You need to be hitting those shots. Cause I've seen, the game and he was missing several shots. Some of them were like air balls and they were just off. And he needs to understand he's one of the crucial parts of the Knicks engine, and he's out there acting a fool. And I think the Pacers defensively are a better team. So I feel that they're going to take, New York. They may not even win the next game, but I think they're going to win the series.
Man. And the thing is too, J.R. Smith's body language is horrendous.
Yeah.
It's just horrendous, man. Like, when he misses a shot, he acts like, fuck it, man. The whole world's going to end and it's all my fault. He even took blame for their losing in this series, the other day. And, you know, he's making me look right. I said last week that, you know, shit, I've been saying it for months now, that he is going to John Starks this team, and he could not be making me look right, more right. I didn't think he'd do it in this round. I thought he would do some hero shit, and maybe he still can. I thought he would do some hero shit to really get Knicks fans reeled in and trusting him and going, nah, JR's good. And I thought he would do it against the Heat, but he's calling the shit early. What about you, Justin?
I definitely think the Pacers is gonna win. I haven't even been watching this series because it's boring. The Pacers aren't just the only boring team. The Knicks are boring as well. Like, it's a bunch of jump shots, not any exciting dunks. I like Iman Shumpert, but outside of that, man, it's a boring series. I don't want to see either team play the Heat. Both of those teams are going to be boring.
Yeah.
I'm really just now watching Memphis and looking forward to the finals.
Yeah.
But I will say this, you know, you brought up Rihanna Ty. Erykah Badu got that pussy that take you to the next level. Rihanna seems to just, hers brings you down a notch. You know, look at Chris Brown, his incidents happened when he got with Rihanna. Yeah. You know, even Drake, you know, now he want to fight in the club, the opposite of him, which is Disney. Yeah.
I mean, has there ever been a more overrated woman than Rihanna in general? I mean, like, I think that, like, she's got this rep somehow of just, like, being this immaculately fine chick, but she can't sing. She can't dance, and she ain't that fine. Like, she just ain't. Like,
she nasty, dog.
Yeah, I think, like, it's her, like, Kim K, and, like, Jessica Simpson are, like, the three musketeers of,
overrated
women.
Like, she has a look to me that says she can't fuck. Now, I know that people are like, but she looks so good. Certain women give off this vibe, man. I'm not even gonna name the other ones, man, cause y'all are just getting mad cause they get y'all pantheon of fine ass women, but, God, man, she's just got this look where it's like, you know what, man, you talk a good game, but you just want to do missionary. Rob, what do you think about the Knicks Pacers, and who do you think is going to win?
Well, first of all, I'm going to come on the opposite side of that. I can't stand the Knicks. I can't stand, I look at it from a business standpoint. if I know that my dude I got to put all my eggs in my basket is named J.R. Smith, I'm like, we fucked anyway.
It's not Julia, it's J.R.
Yeah, and dude, just, I mean, here's the deal. I'm a black racist / realist, okay? You look at niggas, there's certain niggas you know you would not trust. That's the bottom line. And J.R. Smith, first of all, I don't trust Carmelo because he don't want to share the ball. But J.R. Smith is the next dude you putting all your eggs in that basket, and you really think you got a chance? But what changed it all for me, because I didn't know about him in the club of Rihanna, I'm out a Knicks fan, nigga. I want to see the Knicks win now because I like Rihanna, dog. I like dirty girls who are sluts and try to bring me down, nigga. I'm married, nigga. So the further when you marry, you appreciate sluts like that, nigga. You're like, they all look good back in the day. You know, you appreciate what they bring to the table.
It must be married with kids because I'm married and it doesn't do anything for me. That's what I watch pornography for.
No, I'm with you, Rob. She bring that extra, like she'll do anything you say.
Yeah.
Like, right. Anything you
say. The only Rihanna I mess with is Rihanna Rhymes. Google that.
Rihanna type of people, though. You're like, you said, she'll do everything you say, but then you say, and you forget to pick up your sock, and then she go crazy and try to but I really like, I mean, to me, I don't really care who wins a series. I think, obviously, the Knicks don't have the coaching or the defense to win, so they're going to lose in six. I was surprised, actually, they won last night. They got respect from me for actually pulling something out last night, but I look at that more as an indictment on the Indiana Pacers not having a closer on their team to really do it.
Yeah.
But the Rihanna thing, man, I think Rihanna's, I'm a fan of Rihanna, man.
Yeah, I don't know how she got that overrated, man. She don't have no titties. Her ass is not big.
She got ass, though. She does have
ass. She got thighs and legs. She don't got no ass.
Okay, that's what it is. Okay, so
yeah, it's that optical illusion. I've been tricked many a time, brother.
Yes, she does have thighs. Look, yes, Rob, that's what it is.
Rob, you illusion because you know what she'll do, so everything in your mind is like, oh, she bad, but it's really not.
Exactly.
Right. It's like, hey, it's the same thing that happened with Kim Kardashian. Like, when I seen Kim Kardashian, pictures and shit, I used to be like, oh man, who is that? And I saw the sex tape, I was like, not that.
Yeah.
That's not that good a performance. I was completely overrating you, man.
I feel like that's my responsibility to take that on and make her better. You know what I mean?
Right, right. You gonna coach him up.
You can't save him all, Rob.
Yeah.
Save him all.
Rob gonna coach him up, though.
I coach him up, dude. I give him responsibilities, man. Make him perform the best they can for him under these circumstances.
Get in the robbery system, the three steps. all right.
I'm gonna say one last thing.
Go ahead.
About the Knicks. I don't want the Knicks to win because we can't have Spike Lee in the Eastern Finals.
Oh yeah. Man, I forgot about him, nigga.
Yeah, his clothing choices are.
He's tripping. Yeah.
At this point, he just looks like one of those Make-A-Wish kids or something that someone gave a basketball jersey. Like, I want Kenyon Martin to sign my jersey. Like, it feels like that because the jerseys are oversized. After this, I can't take his Django criticism seriously. It's crazy.
really, because he looks like a clown. I'm like, every year, he looks more and more like Mookie from Do the Right Thing.
Yes.
So I can't take him seriously.
Now I feel like maybe Quentin Tarantino had a point.
He getting old and older, man. That's all it is. But did Jason Kidd score last night?
Maybe if he got home and fucked his wife, because no, nigga.
Damn, he still ain't scored.
He still ain't. All right, here's something from the Grizzlies. Like, I'm pulling for the Heat, but the Grizzlies got to be my number two team right now. They got a new anthem. It's by DJ Paul of 3-6 Mafia. Only in Memphis, motherfucker. I'm going to play it for y'all, but only in Memphis would some shit like this even be possible. Let me play it.
You said we don't bluff. You were just making a statement that you believe in. Did you ever think that it would be kind of a motto?
He's talking to Zach Randolph.
I really didn't know it was going to be a motto, but you know, it's all good. You know, we don't bluff. You know.
Yeah! Memphis 10! Stand up! Grizzlies! Turn up! DJ Paul! Drummer boy! Drummer boy! We don't bluff! 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 We done told you! We don't bluff! 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 We done told you! We don't bluff! We don't bluff! We don't bluff! We don't bluff!
nothing. Put your hands in the sky and keep your feet jumping. It don't matter who carrying. We embarrassing. Got another college arrogant. No comparison. Better talk to a therapist. Go with Barry and the ball.
Tell you right now, dog. These dudes have successfully made the only playoff anthem that I will put money on. Someone will die to. Someone will die, and this will be the last thing they hear is, we don't bluff. We don't bluff. Like, the only, yeah, only Lil Jon could have done something more, caused more violence than this. All right, let's get into our some of these quicker stories to talk about. We've analyzed the playoffs enough. The Maloofs of Sacramento, Kings fame, have had to sell their team because the NBA said, no, nigga, not so fast. Can't move back to Rob's old town and give them the Sonics back and let them enjoy being part of the NBA again. Y'all got to stay here in Sacramento and sell the team to some local cats. Kevin Johnson's biggest win in his career as a mayor. And as an NBA player, I think, because, you know, if this is the end of the NBA, he probably would have got hurt, had to sit out half the season, and the Kings would have left. So, I think it's kind of good for the city of Sacramento. I still feel bad for the city of Seattle for losing their team, because I'm in Charlotte. We've lost a team before, and
y'all need to lose a team.
You know what, man? You'll never see me take the Bobcats for granted. You'll never, like, people that know me, I don't talk shit about them like that. Like, I love the NBA, and it sucked when we didn't have a team. And, like, that was, like, legit one of the times I straight up cried as a grown man was when they were like, yeah, it's final. Hornets have played their last game in Charlotte. I remember being like, what? Like, I can't believe everybody's voted against us. I can't believe we're letting them go. So, you know, I identify with the people from Seattle, man, and I wish they could have got 18, but, you know, I would have felt bad for the people from Sacramento. So what do you guys think about it? Now, Rob, you're originally from that area. Like, what do you think about it?
Yeah, man, I grew up in Tacoma, Washington. That's my hometown. I'm a Mariners, Seahawks fan, Sonics fan, Gary Payton fan. I guess I look at it this way. I'm not mad that they didn't get the Kings. I would have liked to have the Kings because I think that's a pretty good foundation that you can build with. I was surprised that we didn't get the Kings. I was assuming that it was a wrap. But I just got motivated knowing that anytime 3-6 Mafia or DJ Paul makes a song, I keep getting reminded that why am I not in the studio? Because they be producing some bullshit, man.
Yeah. They can't even rap.
All their songs sound alike, man. They get paid. That Grammy just took them to another level.
I also love that they always rap with the same cadence and shit.
Oh, yeah.
Nigga, we don't bluff. We'll hit a nigga up.
No, I mean, it's the same thing. And if I would have never heard that song, I could have told you what that song sounded like.
Yeah.
But I just think that Seattle, man, we're in trouble, dude, because we're not gonna get a team for a little bit Sacramento was close to where they could easily relocate us. We're not getting them, man. It's gonna be a long time. And to me, it's just bullshit. Because
I think they would have to expand the NBA before Seattle gets another team.
And we should not expand the NBA. Sacramento ain't never won a championship. Seattle won a championship in '79 with Gus Williams, Dak Sigma, you know, Dennis Johnson, Lonnie Shell. We won a championship. Gary Payton, we took them to the finals, and we lose a team. And Sacramento has one, so. I mean, you know where my sentiments are. I mean, I think it's kind of, I feel good that Sacramento, they got their team, but really, we deserve a team more up in Seattle. We got more commerce, more shit going up there. You know, the 206 needs their team.
Yeah, yeah. Anybody have any other thoughts on it? Todd? Justin?
I would just say it's kind of shady for Stern to promise them a team and then be like, oh, I didn't think this all the way through before I answered.
Yeah, he was like, oh shit, man. Hey, it was like calling your boy when you just, when you just gave his ticket to the game away to the hot chick.
Yep.
You know, it's like, oh, well, I can go with Rihanna to the game. Well, shit, girl. Yeah, you can go with me. Hold on. I just got to make a call. Hey, Rob. Hey, man. Hey, dog. Oh man, it's gonna be crazy when I tell you what happened to your ticket, dog. But I hope you ain't got no plans. Actually, I hope you do got plans. I hope you made some other plans. But yeah, man. So I feel bad for them. Ty, anything?
Nah, not really. I mean, they should have allowed that team to go to Seattle because California got like 30 teams.
Yeah, they do. They do. They could, yeah, just take the extra half an hour drive and go to Oakland. I know, Nick Jew, that is not where it's at. I'm sorry. All right, so. Gronkowski got his fourth surgery. Remember Rob Gronkowski, the guy who broke his forearm in the season for the Patriots twice? He just got his fourth surgery, but this is a good surgery, supposedly.
Not like those other surgeries.
Yeah, unlike the other three. This is the fourth time's a charm.
This one was real doctors.
And I don't have much to say about this story, really, except Itwan, because, you know, people are saying this is a good surgery because he can get back to partying. And I feel like if he was black, nobody would be saying that. They'd be like, he needs to sit his ass down.
If he was black, first of all, he wouldn't even be with the team, because we found out you get something and you black, they cutting you.
Yep.
Shot Kyle Love.
Mm-hmm.
Also, too, I felt like he has OCD because he broke the forearm, so he just had to get surgery four times.
Right. He couldn't help it. another thing, we talked about this briefly last week, that Chris Cluey got cut, and so did Brandon Arejo. Chris Cluey's back on the team. He's signed with the Oakland Raiders. So apparently, Oakland Raiders not afraid of people that don't hate gay people. So, I guess it was not a big story there.
Listen to the irony in that, in Oakland being progressive.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. I knew Chris was going to sign to somebody because he's still a decent punter. But Brandon Quavisionary, he's like 38, so he's pretty much done.
Yeah, he done. Nick Saban, he got called the devil by his former assistant, Tim Davis. And he thinks that is terribly disappointing. now, I want to know, is Tim Davis black? Because I feel like he should have called him the white devil, because that would have made it more. I always like white devil as a term for white people when you're mad. It's like the white devil. But, yeah, he said it really is a little terribly disappointing. I try to do right by the people that work for me. It's tough, demanding job. And at the same time, if anybody had an issue or problem with me, I would just want them to just tell me. I think what he really means is tell just me. But apparently Davis was at a booster club meeting on Tuesday. And he said, I've always wanted to work with Will. He's talking about Will Muschamp or whatever, the coach for Florida. He says, Will's got a plan. Will coached under the devil himself for 7 years. I only did three. He did seven, and his DNA is not any different than Nick. And honestly, man, it felt like the dude was kind of just making a joke, giving a compliment. A lot of these booster memes, man, if people understood what goes down in them, it's just a little shit talking. You know, they just trying to rile up the other teams and shit like that, get the boosters to give them some money. But I feel like they overrated this comment, especially since the guy didn't say white devil. I felt like it was pretty much a non-story, but I had to cover it. Another thing, man, Mark Sanchez. I know you guys are, you know, everybody here is really big into Mark Sanchez fans. he released an article this week. Apparently, he's finally ready to win the job, man.
I don't think his own family likes him, to be honest. Outside of the Jets organization, I don't think his own family likes him. So
I don't know how he keeps that job.
It's white privilege. It has to be, because he's so bad. Like, he's just – I just think butt fumble every time, and it was the greatest play of all time. I love butt fumble.
Yeah.
I had visions of Chris Bosh when you said somebody's butt.
Yeah, like, the thing is, they brought in, like, David Gerrard to like compete for the starting spot. David Gerrard's 35 and he's played terrible for the last two seasons, and he decided to retire Wednesday because his knee still messed up again. I think he went to Miami last year. He couldn't play the season because his knee was fucked up. The fact that they brought in this low level of talent to be your competition says a lot about you as a starting quarterback. Like, we think David Gerrard can compete for this spot with you. And then they brought it, they went and got Geno Smith, in the draft. So I really feel like, Mark Sanchez's job, his days are numbered, but they should have been numbered years ago. So I don't know what's going to happen over there, man. But, anybody else got an opinion on that, man? Just chime in.
He actually had me questioning the thought of NFL GMs and the system to get on a team. Because there's millions of quarterbacks out here, and it makes me just question how bad are they,
mm-hmm.
or just how lack of opportunity there is for people that are better than him just based off of who you know or what school you went to, because he is trash.
Yeah, people couldn't wait to say how much of a seller of products he would be. He's a pretty face. He's got the Latino descent. You know, there's a lot of Latinos buying things up these days. And it was like, but can he play starting quarterback and be good? Because it doesn't appear so.
Yeah, Mark Sanchez still being a starter, I don't think it's indicative of how, like, the talent of the free agent quarterbacks. I just think more so is just something's going on with the Jets, because they wouldn't even start Tim Tebow. And, I mean, I'm not an NFL expert or throwing arm expert to know how great Tebow is in the system, but to not give a guy who did take the team to the playoffs a chance, it's something going on in that organization, and I don't think it's still been worked out.
Well, was you going to say something, Rob? I'm back.
Yeah. Well, yeah. The funny thing about it, I was just thinking about Tim Tebow. This is the weirdest thing to say, though. Like, Tim Tebow's actually getting treated like a black guy, mm-hmm. which is funny because Tim Tebow is I did look at the rosters, like, of all the backup quarterbacks. They are garbage. You're telling me Tim Tebow can't be a backup quarterback in this league just for some, you know, because the backup quarterback ain't supposed to play. They're supposed to hold it down for a couple weeks, right?
Right.
Yep. So I look at it like Tim Tebow's being crucified for his entourage and for what he brings with him. And so GMs don't want to sign him. And what funny thing about it is, I don't think Mark Sanchez has had a better chance to start than this year, because I'm telling you, Geno Smith is horrible. He's bad. And I want to come back on the show when you see that he won't be in the league in a year and a half. He is bad. And I don't think he's not even near Mark Sanchez. And Greg McElroy, I mean, if all things being considered, you're paying him more, I'd still pay up. Greg McElroy ain't head and shoulders above Mark Sanchez. The quarterbacks they brought in are not even to his level. And I don't think his levels of obviously ain't that high. So I just look at that. To me, it's a coaching GM thing. When they were successful, they ran the ball, and he was effective. They went away from that the last 3 years. So is that Mark Sanchez's fault, or is that the system fault?
Looking at his quarterback rating, though, for his career, 2008, he was 21st, 2009, 24th. 2010, he was 16th, which is middling, and 29th in 2011, 31st in 2012. A lot of this is on him, though.
Oh, it is, but
because it's like there's a certain amount of talent that you can see when a person goes back to throw the ball, where even if they're not getting the opportunity, you can still kind of see, like, well, when he, you know, when he did throw the ball, I saw, you know, he got this read right, or he, you know, right. But with him, it's like there's too many games where he, even when they start throwing, I'm like, there's no fucking way they're winning this game.
Well, but you gotta take the whole thing in consideration. I'm not defending Mark Sanchez.
You are. It's fine.
I'm defending his mediocrity, mm-hmm. not that he sucks. He is a mediocre quarterback. If you're 16th in the league at any time in your life, you're in the middle of the road quarterback. And I just look at what they did that year. They ran the damn ball, and mm-hmm. he was effective. They made it to the AFC Championship.
They try to run it now. Like
they don't got no running backs to run it right now. The whole system was messed up. They don't got the right running backs in the system to run it like they did that year. I'm not defending him. I guess I am. I'm just saying he don't suck. He just average.
I think for a quarterback that needs everything to go right for him to be successful, like that type of quarterback, is not a franchise player, and they pay him and treat him like a franchise player. And that's my only issue with the dude. It's not his fault necessarily, but you know, he don't get middling money. So, and he doesn't, you know, like, he's winning in the game of life now. You know, I support that shit. Get your money and be not good at your job. I fucking love it. But, as far as, like, you know, as a quarterback that I would want on my team, I would never want a dude like this on my team. Like, too much has to go right for him to be successful, man. I don't want to pay him the money I'm paying a Ben Roethlisberger or Tom Brady or anybody like that, because he hasn't really earned it on the field.
Right. That's real. That's real. That's it. That's the, well, yeah, he doesn't deserve that type of money. He don't even deserve Russell Wilson money.
Right. Yeah. He's Jake DeLome to me.
I'm throwing Russell Wilson in there. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. He's Jake DeLome after Jake fell off to me. Like at this point, like I'm not worried about him. You know who else isn't worried about him? Steve Smith. That's right. Steve Smith of the Carolina Panthers, who is not anywhere near the Jets.
A real OG.
He was, yeah, and a dude you'll never hear me talk shit about, cause we know how that happened. but he was co-hosting WFAN's The Drive, local radio show here in Charlotte. And, they were doing the quarterback list. They were talking about who, you know, which quarterbacks are good, given going down the top 30 rankings. And they got to Mark Sanchez. And, he sucks. I wouldn't let Mark Sanchez throw me a paper bag sandwich.
Now, he said that?
Yes. I wouldn't let him throw me a paper bag sandwich. According to a tweet referenced by CBS New York, the comment came during a discussion with CBS's Will Brinson and his recent, quarterback rankings. For the curious out there, Sanchez is ranked number 30 alongside recently drafted Geno Smith. So the dude that couldn't get drafted on the first day of the draft ends up getting drafted by your team. And people say he has an attitude problem and is not going to be a good NFL player, is exactly ranked the same as you on this scouts, on Will Brinson's list of quarterbacks. So that's gotta hurt, man. All right. Speaking of, gotta hurt, man. Talked about this dude last week. Did not expect to be talking about him again this week, but they say, good things happen in threes.
He reminds me of young Al Green.
Ex-Lions wide receiver Titus Young arrested for a third time in a week. Now, the first time we read this, it was two times in 24 hours. he got pulled over, then he got arrested, he got out, they impounded his car for being parked in the wrong spot. He tried to climb over the impound fence and get his car back. Well, this time, apparently they say people close to Titus Young have been urging him to seek help in recent weeks. Instead, he's found more trouble. Young, the former Lions receiver who was released a day after the Super Bowl this year, was arrested late Friday night for the third time in less than a week, this time in San Clemente, California, on felony counts of burglary and assault on a police officer and a misdemeanor charge of resisting arrest. Lieutenant Joe Balicki of Orange County Sheriff's Department said Young is still in jail on $75,000 bail, awaiting a Monday hearing. Young, a second-round draft pick in 2011, was arrested twice on May 5th in Moreno Valley, California at 12:01 a.m. on suspicion of driving under the influence, and again 14 hours later on attempted burglary for allegedly trying to steal his own car out of a California tow yard. At around 11:30 p.m. Friday, Balicki said deputies responded to a call of a subject inside of a house and where they found Young outside the residence. Balicki said Young fled the deputies on foot and was detained after a brief struggle. Now, I wonder what the original call was about, though, because they just said a subject inside a house. Was it trespassing or people saying he wasn't supposed to be there? Like, I wonder what was up with that.
Yeah, I'm not too sure what's going on, but like, also, I'm not too sure exactly like what's all the story. I mean, what's coming out of the story, because his dad came out like a few days ago and was saying that something's not right with his son, and he think it's like an issue from like his he had a concussion or something in college and he hasn't been right since. So
yeah, his mom even said something like she thinks he has mental illness and he needs to get help. But apparently when the cops showed up, he actually tried to fight them, but there were more deputies than him, so they were able to subdue him without, I guess there were some punches thrown, but they were able to get him in the handcuffs without too much damage. Young's car, the same black convertible Mustang that was impounded a week earlier, was towed again Friday night before the alleged break-in. Man, dude can't keep his car out of the impound lot.
It's a Mustang, yeah, though.
Yeah, it's a black Mustang. What year was it?
I was of two thoughts when I saw this article. Was that, A, he's trying to set a record for Guinness, and you know, it's actually pretty ingenious. He's getting a lot of attention behind it. But then the other thing is, he got a bad bag of weed. That's, yeah. And the effects haven't worn off yet.
My first thought was, hey, man, this is the first time he's made three consecutive catches in a long time. Like, now he might be catching cases, but he's catching something.
Yeah. The answer probably really lies within the team and the reason why they cut him. Mm-hmm. Like right after the Super Bowl, like it really lies with that. They know something and they're just not releasing it.
I knew he wasn't right when he changed his jersey to young senior. Cause come on, man. Nobody does that. Like nobody's dad ever put that on the back of their jersey. There's like, that just means you became a father. That doesn't mean you're like, you know what I mean? There's a lot of juniors in the, but there's never been a Michael Jordan senior, you know, playing basketball. Anyway, yeah, man, he fucked up, man. He need help.
I don't know why. Here's what really confused me when I read that was, I was so confused. I was like, how did this nigga get caught? If you play football as a receiver, nigga, you get caught. If you're running, you can't outrun police officers with guns on them, man. You got some moves. I know he can run that fly route. Just run the fly route 30 times. They can get out.
He got to go through basic training first.
I guess so. That's what it is.
Maybe but the cop was a DB.
I was backpedaling.
Yeah. Strong safety.
You read the route.
Yeah, he tried to take an out. He just cut off the sideline. Man, met him right there.
Oh man, I here's the deal, man. I feel bad for him, man. In these situations, man, I go a little far, like talk shit about people's lives and stuff. But to me, this is obviously something this brother got really has mental issues. I don't necessarily think that it's because of concussions. That's a real likely excuse. Mm-hmm. But anytime you get a anytime you get arrested within 24 hours and you climbing over to try to get your car, you have a kind of a different take on reality. You don't think that you think that's logical to do something like that. So I would say there is some mental things going on with him. And did you hear about his wife? His baby mama said that he said a couple days ago that he understands what OJ went through. He understands OJ.
Wow.
So, yeah, it's a concussion that messed him. Like something has scrambled his brain because
He's lucky too, because the owner of the house that he was trying to get into said that he was preparing to shoot dude. Like, he had his gun and everything, called the police, and luckily they got there in time because he was going to shoot him. And they don't even know each other. They're not friends. They're not family. Like, dude just was like, somebody's breaking in my house. No idea who it is, but I'm about to cap him. So
somebody's breaking in my house. Breaking
in my house. Hey, Drew Hill.
Hey, do you think that, here's my question. Mm-hmm. Titus Young had problems at Boise State that they covered up. He goes to Detroit, and from the beginning, he was having problems. And I think that, concussion, maybe football can exacerbate that problem. But I just think that when you make bad decisions like that, that's just a natural, you're a bad decision maker, and you just have problems mentally.
And there ain't shit you can do in Boise to get in trouble too, so.
Right, and if you get in trouble in Boise, you just got issues.
Yeah.
But Titus, man, if you see his mugshot, man, this nigga look like he just, man, I just arrest me, please. He's right. Like, just put me away, nigga. I don't want to say it. Take me away and I won't fight it.
Yeah, he's a real arrestable nigga, man. Like, you can just see it.
That look like, man, I would arrest that nigga. I just, citizens arrest on that nigga if he walked by me at Starbucks.
They clearly knew what was going on with him. They clearly.
Yeah.
Yeah, oh, they did. They did. They wanted to take the talent first and see if they could, you know, bleed that talent out of him. And then when they realized it was too much of a headache, they let him go.
Speaking of being too much of a headache and letting it go, Dirk Nowitzki's letting go of some of his money again. And this time it's not because he got fleeced by a black woman. apparently he's trying to take a significant pay cut next summer so that the Mavericks can pursue Chris Paul or Dwight Howard. What do you guys think about that?
Who would you rather have?
He's not a savvy businessman.
You know, number one, I've already stated, Chris Paul, the point guard position is overrated. Dwight Howard.
Overrated.
Is overrated as a player. And not having your money is very underrated.
Yeah, like.
So I wouldn't do any of this shit if I was him. I don't know. And what happens if you take this pay cut? They don't get either of these guys. Do you get your money back?
Hell yeah. You better get your money back. It would be contingent upon
the Hopefully he can work something like that. But personally, I'm like the same way with Rod. I'm always supporting players getting their money. And I never support players that cut their own pay, even though it's noble, I guess. Like, you wait until the team has to either cut you or force you to reduce, you get that money.
Yeah, because they don't care. The team don't give a fuck. When it's time for you to go, it's time for you to go. Ain't no sympathy contracts in the NBA, so... It's a really weird move. I know he's a good guy. He says at this point in my career, it's all about competing and winning. He said it's not about money. Obviously Cuban took care of me for a long, long time. I always try to pay him back by playing hard and being here for this franchise. So I don't think we're going to fight over money. I want to compete over these last couple of years. That's going to be the goal. Hey man, if you want to compete that bad, please go play for the Lakers, yep, the Heat. Get your money, man.
No, that's the prime example. Everybody want to compete, but they want you to come play at their house. Like, now, if you want to compete, you'll go to different gyms. You'll travel. Go play for a different team then. Go play with Kevin Love. You know what I mean? He'll get all your rebounds. He'll make sure you get in the ball because he get plenty of assists. Like, go play with him.
Yeah.
I'd rather have Kevin Love over Chris Paul and Dwight Howard.
Agree.
I look at it like this. I understand what Dirk's doing, and if he does it right, it's a great move, because when you win a second championship, you get money for days. Do you get commercials? It does. The long end of it, for long term, you will make more money by winning another championship. You're more marketable. You can do that on a long term. So I get that. I would do it, but I wouldn't do it getting Dwight Howard, because I'd be throwing money away.
Well, yeah. I think he's doing it because he realized he fucked up by not being able to greet LeBron.
you try to make back for that mistake,
right? Like when, because he had the opportunity to be like, man, you know what, LeBron, come to Dallas, let me show you the real side of Dallas, why you like it, why you and I play good together, why we can win this thing. He was kind of like, man, Cuban, make this thing happen. You not going, Cuban? Cool, I'm not going either. We'll send somebody else out for the meeting. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, just kind of nonchalant, like, I'm Dirk, come to my house.
All right, well, this is the last segment, and we're always going to do this segment as long as we do this show. And I got me some official theme music for the segment, and let me just get it playing.
I need some phones.
I'm so proud of you.
Hey Mamba. That's right, guys. We're back for another installment of This Week in Mamba. We talk about one of my favorite players of all time, Kobe Bean Bryant, and what's been going on with him. Last week it was his mama trying to sell his stuff, and this time it is his basketball father betraying him, stabbing him in the back too. Phil Jackson apparently has a book coming out, and for people that know about Phil Jackson, they know that one of the things over his career in interviews that he never really did was compare Kobe Bryant to Michael Jordan, even though everyone else was doing it constantly. But he wouldn't do it. And I used to think it was because he had some integrity. Nope. Now I realize he just was saving it all for a book so he could make money off of it. Fuck Zen. That's bullshit. So let's talk about it.
Okay, thank you.
I couldn't believe this shit. Apparently, he's talking about the difference. He says Michael was, the name of the book, by the way, is 11 Rings, The Soul of Success, for those that want to buy this piece of crap, Kobe Bryant hit job that he's doing. Capitalizing off another man's success to try to take him down. Okay. Michael was more charismatic and gregarious than Kobe. He loved hanging out with his teammates and security guards, playing cards, smoking cigars, and joking around. Jackson said in the book that has obtained the advanced copy sent to the Times. Kobe is different. He was reserved as a teenager, in part because he was younger than the other players and hadn't developed strong social skills in college. Is that what we're calling it? Michael Jordan got strong social skills, fucking white women, and being a degenerate, drinking and gambling and smoking cigars.
That being an asshole.
Yeah, that's social skills. Come on, man. When Kobe first joined the Lakers, he avoided fraternizing with his teammates, but his inclination to keep to himself shifted as he grew older. Increasingly, Kobe put more energy into getting to know other players, especially when the team was on the road. Now, I've always thought that was an unfair criticism of Kobe Bryant, where they said he was aloof when he was younger. He was 17 when he was younger. What the fuck can a 17-year-old do with a grown-ass NBA player as a friend?
Yep.
Nothing.
Well, hey, man, let's go to the bar. Oh, damn. Oh. All right, Kobe, we'll talk to you later, man. Like, it's like, I don't know what he was... I don't hang around with any 17-year-olds. Nobody does. That is not a pedophile.
Uh-oh.
Oh, except Rob. Sometimes he'll just... Sometimes he just pick up a 17-year-old, they go hang out, you know, shoot some pool. But,
shouts out to my Twitter honey, T. Renee.
Yeah, most of us don't. Most of us don't.
I just think that Phil Jackson, that was just so disrespectful because he said a lot. Are you going to read some more of what he
said?
Yeah,
I got more. I was just pausing to give you guys a chance to add to that so far.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm just going to wait till you done it.
Okay.
He also gave a shout out to our underage friends.
Yeah. He also said, no question. Michael was a tougher, more intimidating defender. He could break through virtually any screen, shut down almost any player with the intense laser-focused style of defense. Yeah, he's also 6'6", when most two guards are 5'1". Kobe has learned a lot from studying Michael's tricks. We often used him as our secret weapon on defense when we needed to turn the direction of the game. In general, Kobe tends to rely more heavily on his flexibility and craftiness, but he takes a lot of gambles on defense and sometimes pays the price. And I agree with that. I think he does gamble on defense a lot of times. But I think that's more when he got older. And I think, I think Jordan gambled a lot on defense. His most spectacular defensive plays are all like, coming from behind to block somebody else's man on the weak side. Getting the steal on Karl Malone was a gamble. He came across the court, to get into his blind spot. I mean, you know, technically he left somebody wide open. Karl Malone could have just turned around, got somebody a layup or open shot. Probably was checking Hornacek at the time, would have been a three. But, you know, it's Kobe and it worked. I mean, it's Michael and it worked out. So, you know, we're never going to talk about it.
And it just sounds so deflammatory towards Kobe because it's not even constructive in any way. And I can't really comment because Jordan is his prime. I was like sixth, but
yeah,
whatever.
He says Jordan shot almost 50%, an extraordinary figure, while Bryant had been at 45%. So that was a big difference. Michael was more likely to break his attackers with power and strength, while Kobe often tries to finesse his way through mass pileups. Michael was stronger, with bigger shoulders and a sturdier frame. He also had large hands that allowed him to control the ball better and make subtle fakes.
And his dick was also 3 inches longer.
Yeah.
Keep going, Phil. Keep going.
He was balls deep on me. Jordan was also more naturally inclined to let the game come to him and not overplay his hand. Now, this is actually the part where I was like,
it's bullshit.
Okay, fuck you. Because I've watched Jordan play, man. I've seen the games where it's like, right now Jordan is 5 for 18 and going into the fourth. And it's like.
And Pippen 7 for 7.
Right. It's like Jordan ain't going to stop shooting. Man, that's not what Jordan does. We have made this man a myth and a legend in our minds where we have literally forgotten that there were games where Jordan shot too much. There were games where he shot his team out the game. There were games where he forced the action because he just would not stop. He was going to shoot.
How selfish was that flu game?
Right.
I mean, really?
Let Craig Hodges get some shine, dog. It's not about you.
You hit 50 points, let the game come to you.
Hey, forget y'all young ass niggas, man. Okay? First of all, I understand it. I sound like my father right now when you talk about Dr. J and about Will Chamberlain. I'm going to tell you right now, Kobe Bryant is the second best two guard in history. We're splitting hairs here, but I have to lean towards Phil Jackson, who coached both of them. Everything you said is really true. Of course, Michael gambled, but when you talk about a complete player, you never are better than the original. You know, you can never be on that level. And I respect Kobe. It doesn't mean anything negative against him. Michael Jordan was the best.
Well, that's not my issue though. Like, I don't even think anybody here would tell you Kobe is better than Jordan. That's not even the issue that I have. I mean, I would tell you that, but I don't know that I believe it. But the main issue I have is using Jordan to beat down Kobe.
Yeah.
So, like, that's the thing for me is, like, we've now deified – the ghost of Michael Jordan is way better than Michael Jordan was. And Michael Jordan was the best I've ever seen. But the ghost of Michael Jordan is better than what I saw. Like, you know, he never had a game where he would force it. he would always wait for his teammates to get us. Like, man, I've seen this nigga look wide open niggas off like, my shot, boy, you better get a board. He punched Steve Kerr in his motherfucking face in practice. Like, it's like we just have changed what he was. He is a dick, really, really good at basketball, but he's a piece of shit.
Ask Camille, you know.
But he is.
My issue, though, is
but he is a dick, though. But that's not what he was comparing. He's comparing the different strengths and attributes of Kobe versus Michael. But
well, not at first. At first, he said Jordan was a more funny, like charismatic, gregarious guy, and that he was a better teammate.
I believe he was when he was gambling with his homeboys on the plane. He was.
Nah, he wasn't then either. Like, he's a dickhead. No. Like, if I'm on a plane gambling with you, and I know you only have a million, and I got 10, and I say, I got $2 million on the table, you can't match that. You can't play.
Did y'all ever hear the story when he played with the Wizards and he made Rip Hamilton, he was mad at Rip Hamilton because he was shooting too much or some shit. So after the game, he made Rip Hamilton play him one-on-one and, Rip Hamilton won and he made him play him more for double or nothing. He would not let the bus leave until he beat Rip Hamilton. That's the kind of dude Michael Jordan is. And that's an old Michael Jordan. Like, he's a dick, man.
But my problem with Phil is that he's never, he's always criticized Kobe in a negative light. He's never been partial.
Well, we're about to get to some real personal shit in a second, but yeah, I think he always has kind of been like, Michael was my man, and he does owe everything to Michael. But then it was almost like, I feel like he plays the fans who sort of dislike Kobe already, by giving them what they want to hear. Like, people are only gonna fuck with this book to be like, see, man, Kobe ain't shit. It's like, well, he's the second best shooting guard of all time, even according to Phil. Nah, man, see, Mike would have did. It's like, okay, all right, we can't even talk about this, brother.
What did Kobe do to Phil?
Jordan was also more, we're really about to talk about it for real. Jordan was also more naturally inclined to let the game come to him, not overplay his hand, all that stuff. Okay. When his shot is off, Kobe will pound away relentlessly until his luck turns. Michael, on the other hand, would shift his attention to playing defense or passing or setting screens. This is bullshit. Oh my God. To help the team win the game. Look, man, I've seen both of them do both of these things. I've seen Kobe, matter of fact, the finals when they played against the Celtics, Kobe shot like shit in game 7, but he was rebounding his ass off, playing defense, all like everything else that you need from him, he was giving you. And I've also seen it, you know, I've seen Mike do the same shit, man. Like, it really is 1A and 1B to me. I'm not sure why people have to turn it into like Kobe never did this thing. Michael would do that. Jackson signed off on the Lakers drafting Andrew Bynum in 2005, but didn't like the way that he ran and he thought it would lead to knee problems. So
really,
yeah.
He also said don't trust OJ and some several other things. Let's see, there was another thing he said.
Kentucky Derby winner.
Here's the thing. This is the thing that I thought was the most fucked up though. He even talked about how the sexual assault charges levied against Bryant in 2003 temporarily changed his outlook on the perennial All Star. It cracked open the old wound because Jackson's daughter was the victim of an assault while on a date with an athlete in college. Brooke expected me to get angry and make her feel protected. Instead, I suppressed my rage as I'd been conditioned to during my childhood by my parents. It left her feeling alone and unsupported. In the end, after filing a report with the police, Brooke chose not to press charges. The Kobe incident triggered all my unprocessed anger and tainted my perception of him. It distorted my view of Kobe through the 2003-2004 season. No matter what I did to extinguish it, the anger kept smoldering in the background. Charges were dropped against Bryant in 2004, a few months after the Lakers lost to Detroit in the NBA Finals. The coach-player relationship eventually improved to the point where Jackson defended Bryant after his infamous trade demand in 2007. Bryant was irritated after three languid seasons and wanted to continue his championship pursuits elsewhere. No question, losing Kobe would be a blow to the organization and to me personally, Jackson wrote of that summer. Still though, Jackson probed Bryant's leadership deficiencies compared to Jordan. One of the biggest differences between the two stars from my perspective was Michael's superior skill as a leader. Though at times he could be hard on his teammates, punch him in the face of practice, Michael was masterful at controlling the emotional climate of the team by calling Kwame Brown a flaming faggot with the power of his presence. Kobe had a long way to go before he could make the claim that he would never take pictures with niggas. He walked a good game. He talked a good game, and he yet to experience the cold truth of leadership in his bones as Michael had. But yeah, I thought the rape thing was kind of below the belt.
Oh, it definitely was.
Especially being that, you know, all the evidence in the trials with, you know, the entire football team's worth of semen in that girl's underwear and shit. And like, they were saying there were times that she had been accusing people before, and text messages to friends about like how I'm about to come up and all this shit. Like, that's kind of foul to be like, yeah, man, I was holding it against him, but you know, because my daughter got raped, and it's the same thing. Like, okay, bro, like, calm down.
All black people are like too, like this.
Yeah,
all athletes are like.
You can say that when you had them 81 points saving your job yet again.
And you know, and even back on Jordan's character, what about the fact this personal grudge that he holds against Isaiah Thomas?
Mm-hmm.
Like, really? That's socially, you know, like all those things that you say about Jordan.
Did Phil even see Michael Jordan's Hall of Fame speech? Like, what is this shit he made up, man? Oh, he's just a great guy, great leader. Everyone believes in him and loves him. His leadership is in his bones, you know? It's just in his... Come on, man. Get the fuck out of here. Anyway.
I just don't see who was expect like, who wanted a Phil Jackson book and, like, wanted him to go in against Kobe like that and compare him and Jordan... And trying to shut him down like that.
Yeah.
Like, he could have had them both up in good lights. I don't think anyone wanted his book for that. I hope Kobe and Phil Jackson, they meet up in Colorado in a hotel and they discuss this. Balls deep.
All right, man. Well, it's been another Balls Deep, man. We got to get out of here. Thank you so much for listening, everybody. Hope you enjoyed this show. We had Rob Reed from at Exposure Biz on Twitter and exposurebizonline.com. Make sure you go check him out. And Half of the Atypical Sports Show, which I hope comes back soon, man. Really good dude, real funny.
We'll be back soon, man. Thank you so much for letting me come on here with y'all, man. It was fun.
I'm sorry we had to do this to your hero, man. I apologize. We'll come back another time when we're not dissing Jordan.
As long as he's not dissing Kobe.
Yeah. Ty, thank you for coming on, man. Hot Pod Podcast. Check him out at Ty Diamond on Twitter, T-Y-E Diamond. We appreciate you coming on, man. Thanks for talking some sports with us.
Oh, no problem, man. Y'all check out my Instagram too.
Yeah, Straight Flexing.
Same name.
Yeah. Straight Flexing. And of course, Justin, man, you know how we do. We'll be back next week with some more light skinned or dark skinned people. You never know. Might mix up, get a Mexican in here.
Yeah, Ty was good doing a show with you, Rob. Same to you.
Oh yeah. Sure, man. Justin, we gotta stay united.
All right. Thanks everybody for supporting us, and we appreciate y'all giving us money to do this. Peace.